Number one, I am very rested. Number two, I'm already caffeined up, third cup. So anything could happen. I'm just saying, stand back. Front rows, you're bound to get wet with spit, so you might want an umbrella. Anything can happen today. All right. A man arrives at the gate of heaven. St. Peter asks, denomination? The man says, Methodist. St. Peter looks down at his list and says, go to room 24, but be very quiet as you pass room 8. Another man arrives at the gates of heaven. Denomination? Lutheran. Go to room 18, but be very quiet as you pass room 8. A third man arrives at the gates. Denomination? Presbyterian. Go to room 11, but be very quiet as you pass room number 8. The man says, I can understand there being different rooms for different denominations, but why must I be so quiet when I pass room number 8? St. Peter tells him, well, the Pentecostals are in room number 8, and they think they're the only ones here. And then the second joke, instead of telling it to you, I decided I would show you. This is celebrating our friends up north. So that's God doing a transforming work. He's transforming a baptism into frozen custard. And that's, so be thankful we live here. Hallelujah. So I have a word to unpack for you today. And here's how I feel like this is. You know, I run our farm in Ohio. We spend the summertime making hay and cutting hay and baling hay and then stacking the hay in the barn to where it will stay dry. And all the meantime, the cows, their pasture is all around this barn where the hay is. And so they smell the hay and they can see the hay. And the hay, it's right in proximity of them. But do you know that the hay doesn't help them at all until it gets on the inside of them? So today, I'm going to be talking with you about the anointing. We're going to continue in that vein. This is, we're on this track. I know it's been a holiday and you kind of forget where we were. So let me bring you back. We've been on the track of the distinctives of God. Because if we're going to be the 325 alive church, if we're going to be that church that was so alive when Jesus came and planted the church and when he modeled it for the disciples and then empowered them to go and perpetuate the church, if we're going to be that church that was so dynamic that they were winning entire cities and regions in just a matter of months, if we're going to be that church, we better understand some distinctives. You're not the same as everybody else walking around on this planet. God has some labels he wants to give you. How many of you have ever been labeled negatively? It's almost impossible to walk out from under that label when you could have a friend for 20 years and you do something stupid and all of a sudden they label you and you can hardly get away from that. Now here's the good news. Everybody is permitted 5 minutes of stupid every day. The goal is not to exceed the limit. But if you've been labeled, you understand labels. They get put on you. That's who you are. But I want you to know God puts labels on us too, but they're good labels. They're not negative. And in his eyes, you can't walk out from under those. He calls you certain things. And we're going to look down the list as we go through these distinctives because in order to be that 325 alive church, you're going to have to walk in who it is that God says you are. And the very first word we're looking at is anointed. Anointed. This is our third teaching on anointing. I'm wondering if maybe there'll be four. You know, a cow has four stomachs. So it goes into one, but before it can be digested with a cow, it's got to go all the way to the fourth stomach to become nutrition for the cow. So I kind of feel like that. But this is what I'm sensing today. Today, we've taught on the anointing twice. And it's been powerful. I mean, your feedback has been amazing. But you know, like that hay, you can be in proximity of it. You can smell it. You can see it. But until it gets on the inside, that's when real change happens. So we're talking about distinction of peculiarity. The Bible says you're peculiar. The Bible uses those distinctives. So anointing. What does it even mean to be anointed? Anointed almost sounds like some, if you went to a theological seminary, you have to learn that word, anointed. It sounds like something that you should need to know for that. But the Bible says that if you've been born again, you've got one. You've got an anointing. Now, don't you think it would be good to know how to access it and what it's for? But most of the church, they've heard the word, but most of the church is not, I'm not saying this church, but I'm saying church in general, most church is not walking in the anointing because they don't really understand what anointing is. My assignment in teaching you these distinctives is to where you don't just hear words that you've heard all your Christianese life, but where they make sense to you and you can access them and actually walk in them. If we're not doing that, let's just go down to Denny's and have breakfast. We'll get out of here. But if we're really going to grow and go, we've got to understand some things. So today, I want to challenge you to engage your brain, not just your spirit. This Christianity is a thinking man's religion. You better be thinking as we're... So, and I also want you to be passionate today. In fact, here's what, let's do this. Every time I say the word anointed or anointing, I want you to say it back to me. So are you anointed? Very good. That was, you got a passing grade on that one. That was very good. See how you do if you hold up. Do you have endurance? God calls his people blessed. Yeah, let's do this scripture first. There's a lot of scripture in your Bible, by the way, that talks about being peculiar. This is 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, but you are strange. That's what that scripture says. You are strange. You're a peculiar people. You stand, you're different. You're different. Quit trying to fit in. You're different. It's good to be different. So we're going to recap just a little bit. Romans 8:20, we looked at that last time, that said, for the creation was subjected to futility. The creation. We live on God's creation. It was subjected to futility. Why? Because rather than God remaining in authority over creation, he turned it over to man. Now, he owns it, but the authority he gave to man. Take dominion. Amen. So can you imagine if you were the earth, you'd be like, no, those bubbleheads, God, you keep authority over me. I don't want them. And so creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. No. Not willingly, because of him, God, who subjected it in hope. See, when he turned authority over to man, he had a hope on the inside of him that you're going to do this. You're going to win this thing. We're going to partner together. We're going to conquer. You are going to take dominion, and I'm going to partner with you, and we're going to make this place great. And he started it off great with the Garden of Eden. It was a great place. That's what his intention was. So Adam forfeited creation. Gave over the authority. And so all of a sudden, the person that was in authority over creation no longer is. And the world begins to just reel like a drunken man on a merry-go-round, not knowing what to do. That's why we have hurricanes, because the wind doesn't know how much to blow. There's nobody governing it. That's why we have floods. The water doesn't know how much to give and where to go. That's why we have earthquakes. The earth doesn't know how much to move. Some of you not believe in me. But it's true. I'd love to unpack this more. Trust me, go do a Google search even. Look over how much, as we have taken prayer out of school, as we have walked away from our governing authority, how much the earth is crying out. I mean, for hundreds of years, we had maybe 20 natural disasters But starting in 1963, go study this. You'll see natural disasters began to increase and increase and increase, like unbelievably. Now, instead of 20 disasters a year, we're having like thousands. Thousands. The earth is truly groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Where are the governors in the earth? Where are those that will put things in order? That's who you're called to be. Partnership with God. So we looked at that the last time. How do you do that? How do you be that? Well, the Bible says in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. And it's the sons of God that rule and reign. Okay, that's enough recap. Let's go. God calls you holy. Holy doesn't mean you've got it all together. Holy doesn't mean that your conduct is 100% right. It's flawless, your behavior. No, the word holy means separate. You're just separate. Separate doesn't mean better than. It just means separate. And so I believe what God would say is in your separation, see, we're supposed to be relevant, but we're not supposed to blend. There's a big difference. I'm supposed to be able to be relevant to people's pain. I'm supposed to be relevant to people's suffering. I'm supposed to be relevant to the generation ahead of me. I'm supposed to be relevant to the generation behind me. But I'm not supposed to go into the world and be like the world. God called me holy. He called me to be separate. He calls us light and salt. Listen to this. Light illuminates where there isn't light. I know it's really deep. If you're taking notes, make sure you write that down. But I am making a point. Salt changes the flavor where there isn't salt. If I am it, I can't change it. I can only affect something when I'm different than it. Salt changes the flavor. God called you the salt of the earth. You're to be different than the earth. Quit asking, God, get me out of this ungodly place. I just want to go work with Christians. I'm so sick of all the cussing and you are right where you're supposed to be. Because you're supposed to be light and salt to a dying world. But out of comfort, we're always seeking to a place where it's comfortable, not anointed. Forget comfort. You are anointed. Very good. I love it. You're on track. I've told you before, if you'll keep up with me, we'll be done in no time. But if you don't, long day, it's all I say. Probably another offering. See, the reason that he puts you in places is because there isn't kingdom there, but you carry kingdom. You have been salted to take salt someplace where salt is not. You have to be different than them in order to get them to want your flavor. If they're not exposed to your flavor, how are they going to ever know? You are different for a purpose. Quit trying to blend. Benjamin, big mistake. Those are ones, not 20s. I just thought I'd point that out to you. Good word. Y'all been seeing the news lately? I mean, it seems like people are getting saved, like well-known people, sports figures, and so on. Let's play this video real quick. This is Kathy Lee Gifford, and she was with Kelly Megan on NBC. This was a year ago. This was right after Billy Graham passed away. Did you enjoy that? That was, let's get back. Is it running?
It's running.
Oh, there she goes.
Everybody. Everybody that dies in Christ goes immediately into the arms of Christ for eternity. That is the hope of the Christian faith.
This is the Today
Show.
Yes,
it gives us the tools we need to live in the world today while we're alive. But that's why I could hold my dead husband in my arms and rejoice, because I knew where he was. And it gives you the peace that passes all understanding. And if we don't have, if we've ever needed peace in this world, we need it now, right? And somebody says to me, why are you so bold about your faith? And I was looking at everybody's beautiful face right now. You too. I said, why are you so bold about your faith? And I said, you know what? If you had the cure for cancer, would you keep it quiet? Or would you hold it and keep it a secret? And I always say, I have the cure for the malignancy of the soul. And he has a name, and it's Jesus. And if you just receive, I talked somebody off a cliff this morning on Twitter at 4:30 this morning, because he says, how do I know your Jesus? How can I get to know your Jesus? And it just, I feel so privileged to be able to share just the good news. Gospel means good news. It's good news. And I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship with the living God. They're so different. They're so different. We don't need more religion. We need more Jesus.
So
but
this
that
was,
night at his birthday
this
party,
was NBC, and it was just the first thing I could come up with to show you, you know, on mainstream TV. It's happening more and more and more. But here's my question. We have people that maybe are just newly saved. Who's Kanye West? And he's Kanye, yeah. Mr. West is saying all these things. Is he for real? I don't know, but he's preaching Jesus. Leave him alone. If he messes up, we'll smack him then. But in the meantime, just leave him alone. But he's out there. He's being a light, and he's being salt to a dying world. And we love to aim at him and say, well, what gives you the right? Well, wait a minute. How long have you been saved? Where are you at in the world? Not in church, but in the world where you're proclaiming Jesus, where you're being light and salt to a dying world. When is this happening? I don't see most of the church being light and salt. And it's time to stand up and say, I am here on purpose. But we don't know our anointing. Remember, Moses was a Hebrew. The Hebrews, they went into bondage, and then Moses' mother puts Moses in a basket, and Pharaoh's daughter fishes Moses out of the basket. And Moses is raised in a palace. He's too much of this to be that, and he's too much of that to be this. So he's a Hebrew by birth, and he's raised in Egyptian royalty. And after he's raised in Egyptian royalty, he learns how to be a king. Then God turns him around and sends him right back to the Hebrew people. Why? He plucked him out and he salted him so he could go back in and be salt. The children, they didn't know what it looked like to be out of bondage. They didn't know. He had to get somebody and salt them with freedom, with rulership, with kingship on the inside so he could go back into where all they knew was bondage so that he could get them out. You are salt so that you can go in where people of bondage are and get them out. That's your assignment in the earth. You are anointed for that assignment. So the first principle being peculiar that we looked at was the principle of exception. I don't know if you remember, we looked at that principle of exception. We talked about that what others go through, we will go through, but with a different outcome. The principle of exception doesn't mean that just because you got saved that you're not going to go through stuff. Doesn't mean that you're going to avoid hardships, that you're going to avoid drinking the cup of sorrow. We're going to shed a tear or two while we're walking this. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. I don't hear him saying that about the unsaved. So many are the afflictions. But here's the good news. If that scripture would have quit there, I'd have had a hard time saying yes to Jesus. But he goes on to say, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. Your outcome is different than everybody else's because you're peculiar and because he's put his stamp of exemption upon you. What everybody else goes through, your outcome will be different than theirs. You're the exception. You're the exception. Because when you're in the fire, anybody ever experienced fire here? I mean, you're in a fiery trial. Remember the Hebrew children, they went into the fiery furnace. But God granted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the principle of exemption because they came out of there. They weren't burnt up. Listen, when you go into a furnace, you get incinerated. But they didn't. Why? Because they had an exemption upon them. Oh, I'm telling you something today. Who you have on the inside, that's your anointing. Who you have on the inside gives you a whole different outcome. But you have to walk in it. Okay. The Bible says, think it not strange when you go through fiery trials of various kinds. Fiery trials, they're just part of life. They're just kind of normal. Pet peeve. I see Christians, I got a new car. God is so good. I got a promotion. God is so good. He's so good. How about when you're walking through hell? When everything's going wrong? When you feel like you're the cruise director of the Titanic? When you just can't do anything right, everything seems to just go bad and wrong, is he not still God?
Yes.
There's something about this thing on the inside called the that causes us to triumph even in the face of evil. He sets a table before us. Where? In the presence of our enemies. It's not that we're exempted from troubles and trials and all these things. It's that we have a different outcome. You can trust him in that. You can believe for that. I didn't like going through cancer and cancer surgery. But I stand here today completely 100% intact with no cancer. I went through something, but my outcome is different than a lot of people. Oh, you're just bragging then, bragging. Can I tell you, I know me. I have nothing to brag about, honestly. I mean, I was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I don't have, really. If you only knew. Donna will tell you, when we were dating, I used to sign every note that I sent to her. Love notes. I'd sign it Ziggy, because I likened myself to the cartoon character Ziggy, because everything he touched failed. That was me. So if I'm bragging, I'm only bragging in him, because I don't have anything else to brag about, and I will brag in him.
Come on.
If you're in a fiery trial and you have Jesus on the inside, it means that he's going to do one of two things. He's either going to reach into the fire and pull you out, or he's going to get in the fire with you. But either way, you have another side to that fire. Yeah. Yeah, fire trials. You're the exception. You're not normal. You are not normal. The Israelites walked across a dry sea bottom to get to the land of promise. I think I shared this with you last time. Why did God make sure that it was dry when they crossed to the promised land? You remember? Because he didn't want even any residual of their past getting on his promise. Your future, you can't drag some of your junk into his promise. You've got to get delivered. Thank God for healing deliverance ministry, that you can go in and get that, even that residual that might be stuck on the shoes of your brain, off. Clean your cleats. Go to your promise. Jesus came, listen to this, you got to catch this today. Jesus came through the womb of a woman, and that gave him his humanity. So Jesus legally had humanity. But he also was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and that gave him his deity. So he had humanity, he had deity. The Immaculate Conception is so amazingly important that you understand this. We miss this part of the importance of the Immaculate Conception because the bloodline did not originate from man. It originated from God. And therefore, the bloodline was completely untainted, pure, holy, righteous, 1,000% because it was of the Holy Spirit. But Mary conceived in her womb the seed of God, and then Jesus came through the womb of Mary. So Jesus, catch this, Jesus was God wrapped in flesh. This is going to get important here. Stay with me. He was God wrapped in flesh. God wrapped in flesh. He lived 30 years in pretty much total obscurity. Many theologians think that Jesus' father died very early and that Jesus took over the family business. Oh, I wish I had time to unpack that. We could go someplace with that, but I got to stay on. So Jesus wasn't raised in the home of a preacher. He was raised in the home of a businessman. You know, businessmen, I'm meddling. I'll take just a few minutes to meddle. Businessmen have almost like a, I'm not saying it's given of the Holy Ghost, but they have an inner understanding of kingdom because there's things that happen in business that happen in kingdom. You can't be in business if you don't know how to serve. Well, you can. You just won't be in business long. You've got to know how to serve. You have to understand leverage. I don't have time to teach this, but I'm telling you, Jesus learned some things about kingdom in a businessman's world. So, Jesus comes along. John the Baptist is baptizing. He sees Jesus coming, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." He comes down. John baptizes Jesus. Jesus comes up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove, the Bible says. Jesus walks away from that experience, and he goes into the synagogue. He takes the book of Isaiah. He stands, and he reads, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." Anointed. Nowhere up until that point does Jesus say that he was anointed. Anointed. It wasn't until who came on him? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Anybody in here been baptized in the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? Jesus was a man in the earth that walked around carrying God. I know that messes with your theology, but it's the truth. Yeah, but he was God. He was part of the triune Godhead. Yeah, read your Bible. It says that he laid his deity aside and became a man just like you and me. He's a man until the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Then he is God in man flesh. Some of you are connecting the dots already. Man, there's 100 trails I could run right now. I just get so excited about this premise of the body of Christ, understanding, coming to the point where the lights go on and comprehension comes that you are God, wrapped in flesh. Oh, that's heresy. Well, who is it that you've got living on the inside of you then? Doesn't the Bible say it's no longer I that live, but who? Christ. Come on, he's on the inside. Don't get hung up in theology. Oh no, I'm not God in me. Oh no, I'm just a worm. I'm saved by grace, but I'm a worm. No, come on. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. There's a purpose for that. You have to understand you are somebody and you are purposeful. Yes, you have flesh. Yes, we're funny flesh. I don't know. You know, I'm thankful my nose isn't over my back end, but sometimes I wonder why it's over my mouth. I don't know. I know none of you ever had bad breath, but doesn't that kind of seem like the wrong placement? Your flesh. And we're kind of weird and funny and different, but on the inside, you are God. On the outside, you have warts and you have falling out hair and smelly feet and different, but on the inside, you're God. Don't let that stuff that's on the inside, on the outside, dictate who you are on the inside. That dog would hunt right there. I wish we had time to unpack that. You got to understand that when we were sinful people, God is so pure and so incredibly holy and so righteous that he had to veil himself from us, or we would have just been incinerated. He always shielded himself behind a curtain. What was the curtain he shielded himself from in the Old Testament?
The veil.
Yeah, the veil, the Holy of Holies. God was there. He was on the mercy seat. So he's holy. He's righteousness. God can't expose himself to man because of sin. So Jesus comes, and what happens? God's on the inside of Jesus, and Jesus' body becomes the curtain. God is on the earth. God is exposing himself to man, but he's behind the curtain of flesh. He had to do it legally. He had to come in through a man, but it is God nonetheless. My God, I'm feeling this thing. I just have a sense that there is something in this to be captured so that we can walk in it. I'm just going to go a little bit deeper in this because I just think there's something else I've got to show you. So that's what it means to be anointed. Are you getting a little slow? Clock's slowing down a little bit too. So the Bible says that anybody who is born again, anybody who's born of the Spirit of God, which means that I'm spirit wrapped in a body. Why? Because a spirit has no authority in the earth. What? Spirit has no authority in the earth. Jesus gave all authority to man, to flesh. Remember, we're talking about the problem of creation, groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. You are peculiar. You're different. I'm trying to point out some differences. What does this mean to be anointed? Whew. 2 o'clock at least. And you can't have dominion without a domain. The fact that he's given us dominion means that we have a domain. Where is God's domain? Heaven. Heaven. But he's turned the earth's domain over to who? Okay, so capture that. He's ruling and reigning the heavens. He's anointed us, very good, to rule and reign the earth. That is what your anointing is for. So when he created the earth, he made it like heaven. In fact, Eden is called, in the original, would that be Hebrew, is paradise. That's what heaven is called. So he made what was here on earth just like heaven. And then he put somebody who was created in his image there to rule and reign. You got it? So he wanted earth to be run under a level of authority just like heaven is run under a level of authority. That is his desire and his will. That's why you are anointed. Yes, it is. But Adam forfeited that when he disobeyed God, and the Bible's very clear that it was then turned over to the God of this world, little g. So no longer is it under man's authority. And that's why the earth is just crazy. God never intended Satan to run it. See, I told you last time that when we say God is in control, it just means I have no idea how that happened. I'm not sure. I don't know how to answer that. I don't have an answer. God is not in control, folks. We are. If the earth gets better, it's because of us. If the earth gets worse, it's because of us. God owns it. God owns the earth and the fullness thereof. But we are the ones in authority. Listen. My God doesn't send a tornado and tear down homes and destroy people and families. He doesn't send hurricanes and wipe out coastlines. He doesn't open the earth and swallow people up and kill babies and all this. That's not my God. If my God was in authority on the earth, everything would have been fixed before you had breakfast this morning. It's the truth, but it's us. It's us. We are the authority in the earth. So Jesus comes, he takes the penalty of sin away, he leaves, but the Holy Spirit doesn't leave. The Holy Spirit stays in the earth. So God is in heaven, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is here living in you and living in me. God is in you. Why does the Holy Spirit live inside of me? Because he's wanting to live a lot more through me. That's why he says to crucify the flesh. Because when this Holy Spirit container is in control, and let me tell you, you do have the ability to control the Spirit. When he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," he's a gentleman. He's not going to just run your flesh over to have his way. He will defer to you. So your flesh literally can rule and reign. That's why, I don't have time. So why does he want to crucify the flesh? Because he wants to use my hands. He wants to use my feet. He wants to use my lips. He wants to use my mind. He wants to use my talent. He wants to use my time. He wants to use my energy. He wants to use my money. He wants to use my everything. He's on the inside. Come on. He is held prisoner. The Holy Spirit is held prisoner in unbelieving believers, and he wants out. That's why I died to myself. And I say, God, whatever is your will, come and rule and reign through me. Let not my flesh hinder the advancement of your kingdom. Come on. God wrapped in flesh. God wrapped in flesh. You are God wrapped in flesh. You are way more God than you are flesh if you will permit him to be. Somebody shout, I'm anointed. Yes, you are. So I have a dilemma. Colossians 3:3. I don't think I gave that to you, Wendy. Could you maybe put that up on the screen? Colossians 3:3. He says, "For you died and your life. You died and your life." We'll continue that in a minute, but it's a problem to me when it's my life. Oh, Pastor, I'm a mess. Oh, Pastor, my life is so chaotic. Oh, Pastor, I've just been so miserable. Oh, Pastor, if you just knew what it was like to be me, my life, my life, my life. Now, God is the God of transformation. Do you believe that? Yes. You are about to watch before your eyes your pastor's transformation into an artist. I present to you stick men. Thank you. Thank you. People walking out on my art. I can't. In John chapter 7, Jesus is trying to teach his disciples that there's a day coming when they're going to walk in what he is walking in, where they're going to have what it is that he has. And he's saying, when you get this Holy Spirit, it's going to be like springs of living water flowing out of your belly. I don't know exactly where the Spirit lives inside of us. In the Greek, the word literally means bowels, but it comes from inside. There's a knowing. If we would just mature this. I know none of you have ever gone against what you maybe knew the voice on the inside was saying and did something other than that, and it didn't turn out well. Three of you. Well, let me tell you what, I have enough experience for all of the rest of you where I haven't listened to the voice on the inside and it hasn't turned out well. There's a voice that comes from inside. When your spirit is alive on the inside of you, it comes from in your innermost being, and we've got to learn to listen to the voice. We're growing. Yes, we are. Yes, I think my belly holds more living water than most, but just that's just a gut feeling. The Spirit inside talks to you, and it talks to me. He's a voice. So here's my dilemma. This Spirit is my anointing. The Spirit is my anointing. Colossians 3:3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do you know the word Christ means anointed? Christ is the anointed one. That's what it means. So my whole life is hidden in the anointing. Why is that a dilemma? Because it's heaven. I have heaven on the inside. But it's a dilemma because it's hidden. I'll unpack that a little bit. T.D. Jakes said this. This is really a great statement. He said, everything you will ever be, you already are. That is so rich. Everything you will ever be, you already are. On the inside. On the inside. He's exactly right. Everything you can do, all of your potential, all of your purpose, the very reason you were born, your very anointing is on the inside, and your life is hidden in that. The problem is, I don't know it up here. That's the dilemma. It's here, but it's not here. I hope you're catching this. My anointing knows exactly who I am, but my brain doesn't have a clue. Listen to me. When you were unsaved, you didn't have a clue about anything spiritual. But when you got saved, all of a sudden, a light bulb came on and you knew a little bit. But there was still a huge gap, because when you received the Spirit, when he said, I've already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, so it's all here, but you only had one little light bulb come on about your salvation. There's so much more. So much more. Receive with gladness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save, not your spirit. Your spirit's been saved. It's able to save your soul. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. Because the more your mind comes into agreement with your I hope you're hearing this. I hope you're feeling this. The frustration in my life is that I know what I was born. I was born for something more, but I'm not living in it yet. This can't be all I was created to do. There's got to be a higher purpose. There's got to be something other than just going through the motions day after day. There's got to be something more than getting a paycheck and then spending the paycheck to live week after week after month after year. There's got to be something more. You know that there is because there's something on the inside of you telling you there's more than that. So we went to people, and we try and have people tell us who we are. And then we went to groups, and we had groups try and tell us who we are. Why? Because we have this on the inside. And then we got our dream job, and we're believing that our dream job is going to launch us into who we are. But we don't have the understanding that we're circumnavigating the answer. The answer really is there. It's not hidden in your job, and it's not hidden in your counselor. It's not hidden in your friends. It's hidden in your anointing. So how to close the gap between your mind and your anointing is a can that I can't open for you today. We just don't have enough time. But we're on the way. This is the third stomach of the cow who has four stomachs. We're in the process of becoming. I guess you could call this attendance security. There is over here who your mind says you are. And then you've got this, the Spirit of God living on the inside of you that knows who you are. And this gap in between, that's called frustration. Honestly, I think sometimes that Christians, you can see that a little bit, you know, forget the teaching and forget the words. Just look at the stick man. Just flawless. I knew the Ringling Museum of Art will be contacting me anytime. I think the Christians are frustrated people sometimes because the world doesn't have this knower on the inside that has a different story than what their mind is. So they just go what their mind says, and they're perfectly happy. Well, maybe not, because they're frustrated in their mind too. But we're more frustrated because we have a differing voice. Come on, you know it's true. There's promises that you're not walking in yet, and it's frustrating you. Come on, let me just give you one. You will have an abundance for every single good work. How many in here you've got an abundance today for every good work? There's a sense of frustration in that for me because I don't. And man, there's so many things, so many good kingdom things that I want to give to. But if I didn't know his promise said that he would give me that, I wouldn't be frustrated because I would only know this. Yep. Ignorance is bliss. There's something on the inside of you saying, you can't stop. I know all of you, you've been tempted to stop, but you can't. can't quit. You can't give up. There's more. You've got to push. You've got to be tenacious. There's something driving you forward. You've got to sow. You've got to believe. You've got to have faith. You've got to stand because it's telling you this is who you are. The voice, oh, angels are falling. I hear my promise to you. There is a way for your mind and for your anointing to be in sync instead of at war. Although you're called to be powerful, you think like a weakling. Which one's going to win? Although you're called to wealth, you think like a pauper. Which one's going to win? So you have a dilemma and a frustration that exists on the inside of you. Why is it that you're anointed for strength, but you think weakness? Why is it you're anointed to be known, but you live in isolation? It's that conflict that lives on the inside. How do you close that gap? So your mind and your anointing are saying the same thing. We're going to find out. We're going to find out. So I want to ask you if you want to go on this journey with me. Because I'm going. I'm going. I don't want to say I don't care if anybody else goes. Because I do care. I want every single one of you to go on this journey. This is too doggone, dad blame, dad gum important. Sometimes I think that we think there isn't more. Pursuit is the proof of desire. So if we know there's more, and if we really do desire the more, how can we not pursue it with everything in us? I'm going. If you will go with me on this journey, I'd like for you to stand. Father, we put to death the works of the flesh so that the Spirit might live in fullness and in maturity. God, we understand your desire for earth because you planted it in the Garden of Eden. We understand the prayer that Jesus prayed, teaching his disciples, said, on earth, just as it is in heaven. Father, me first, I come to you and I repent for not creating heaven on earth where you have anointed me to. You don't have to say it anymore. But Father, today, my spirit man is waking up. I'm sensing there's something about that anointing that I'm to walk in. There's more. There's more. I realize that you live on the inside of me. And because of that, there's assignment and destiny all over me. So let's pray this together. I renounce my flesh and my carnal mind. Holy Spirit, on the inside of me, I give you permission to come forth. Flesh, be obedient to the Spirit. Mind, you have the mind of Christ. I will no longer seek comfort or popularity, but I seek God's destiny for my life. I am a king's kid. He loves me. And I have a purpose. No longer will I deny my purpose. But I will raise my head. I will set my face like flint. And I will walk forward not backward. I will go up, not down. I will pursue, not settle. I am powerful. I'm called. I'm a king's kid. I'm great in him. Mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. There's work to be done. I see it. I hear it every day. My assignment is to go forth and be salt and light until kingdom is manifest. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's make a decision and just do it.